with Isaiah, Father, who saw you and cried that we are undone, Father, in the presence of one so holy and so amazing and so astounding. And yet, Father, we also know in that very place where there is conviction of sin, there is also grace. Lord, we praise you for your grace. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you that, Lord, in Jesus Christ, you have provided a way. In Jesus Christ, you have provided the one thing that could take care of our sin, Lord, and that is the blood of a perfect sacrifice. Lord, we are amazed that you have offered that for us. And Father, I would be remiss if this week of all weeks, Lord, I did not stand here and speak of your incredible providence, your astounding sovereignty, your ability to take events, Father, that looked like the worst that I could imagine, events that broke my heart and still break my heart, Lord, for Debbie Wisdom and for her family, Lord, for Michael, for little Chloe. And Lord, we do ask that your grace abound to this family, to the Serrato family, to the Wisdom family, Lord, to these folks who are dealing with loss and dealing with losing Amanda. And yet, Father, you who can work all things together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who live in accordance with His purposes, Lord, took a situation that looked as bleak as it could possibly look. And Lord, you gave Laura a liver. Lord, you allowed her to make it through an operation that should have taken 10 to 12 hours, and they were done in 4. And Lord, as I even got off the phone with Joel just a few moments ago, the nurses are speaking of just the astounding way that she is already in recovery. Lord, they speak of how she is so different from others, Lord, in that it just seems that she's healing quickly and that great grace is being given to her. And so, Father, we just join together and say, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Oh, Lord, we say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. God, we love you. It is amazing. And Lord, we will serve you. We will give our lives to you. We will follow you. Lord, no matter what the cost, it is all worth it that we might know Jesus and that we might experience walking in the grace of God day by day and week by week. Father, as the word goes forth this morning, may you and your grace minister it to the hearts of your people. And God, may today, Lord, be a blessing to the saints. Lord, may your work through your word grant them this week an abundance of fruit that is born as they walk in and fellowship with you, the Holy Spirit. And God, may that abundance be an abundance of love and joy and peace in their attitudes and in their minds that would drive them in everything else that they do. And Lord, may all this be done that glory would be given to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of what we all enjoy in salvation, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would please be seated, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I'm not going to get started in this because it would take all day, but I do want to express our love and our concern and our condolences. We have a reason to grieve and a reason to rejoice this morning. We knew her as Amanda Hodges, but Debbie Wisdom's daughter, and Debbie was a part of this fellowship for years. She was in a horrendous accident and was thrown from her car and experienced extensive brain trauma. And early in the week, I believe it was Monday when this happened, and Tuesday and Wednesday, it was very apparent that she was not going to make it. And the family chose to really, actually by God's direction on Wednesday night, Thursday, they called and said, look, we want to donate her organs. If she really is dead tomorrow, they did tests to determine that and to confirm it. And they said, but we want to donate her organs, but we want, if possible, if her liver is a match for Laura Mason, we want to make a direct donation to Laura Mason of Amanda's liver. As they did tests, Amanda's blood was A positive, and Laura's blood is A positive. And, of course, I always knew Laura was an A-plus lady. Amanda is, too. And they did more and more tests, it was a match. And you guys don't realize this, but later we were down in Little Rock, and one of the folks that was with her was one of the folks that Laura knows from the Foundation of the Arts. And this lady is she worked for 13 years with organ donation and organ transplant, and said in 13 years they never saw one direct donation ever work. Ever. In 13 years. So I don't know if you realize the miracle that God worked out this week, but Laura is doing well. Left her about 6 o'clock last night. She was doing well. I called Joel. In fact, as I was coming out from getting changed from doing the baptism, my phone rang, and it was Joel. I'd asked him to give me a call, and he said that she's doing well. Pray that God would give her grace with her pain, but this is to be expected. But the nurses are all commenting and saying it is astounding and it is amazing how well she is doing. She is so far above the bell curve for where people would be normally in this circumstance. And Laura said if she gets to feeling as good 2 days from now as she started from yesterday to today, she said, I'll be doing great in a couple of days. So Joel is down there. The girls are down there. Pray for Hannah. She developed a sinus infection overnight. But she's staying in the hotel room with Laura's mom, and just pray that she would recover from that quickly. And Joel and the girls and some family are down there helping take care of her. Let me encourage you. I know you want to call. I know you want to do all these things. There is a blog for Laura and Joel. We will try to get that up on the church website. And I may try to figure out a way to just set up a blog on our website, a second blog that will just allow you to log in comments for Laura. And what that will do is just allow you to write things to Laura and express your love. And then what can happen is when Laura gets ready, she can go or Joel can print it off and bring it into her. And that will just allow Joel to be able to minister and take care of Laura actually in intensive care without getting phone calls constantly. And because I know all of you, I know this church, you want to call and you want to love, and I commend you for it. What we just need to do is give them a couple of days, probably, as this is pretty intense right now, what they're dealing with. And she is still in ICU, but that's normal. But we'll have ways for you to do that. And I'll tell you this, if you just want to write a note and drop it off here, we'll have people from the church going down from time to time. And we'll take any notes you want to take to Laura, anything you want to send. She is at UAMS, but we didn't have any kind of address to send her notes. But we'll try to, we'll do our best to get an address up and a blog where you can send comments or write comments to her. And then also sometime later today on the website, CalvaryChapelJonesboro.org, we will also have an address where you could send letters and notes and things to them. So, and I will tell you that the church is doing all that we can through the benevolence ministry to make sure that they are taken care of. And so, if you ever want to give to the benevolence ministry, we're gonna bend over backwards to make sure that financially this does not devastate them. By the way, the insurance company said they'd cover all of it the other day, And so God's already provided financially. And Laura's statement was last night when she kissed us all and said goodbye before she went into surgery, she said, "Well, next time you see me, I'll be the million-dollar woman." So she said, "So just be in prayer." And God's awful good, y'all. And He has done something this week where I have gotten about as low as I've ever gotten and about as high as I've ever gotten in the same week. And so just amazed at the providence and the sovereignty of Almighty God and what He can put together. Because it really is amazing what He has done and what He's put together. Oh, yeah. We're not opposed to giving the Lord just praise for His goodness. Amen. It's a good God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We are looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to look at just three, the first three there that are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Let me read those verses to you. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." Now, saints, we're talking about and we're studying Galatians, and we're at the point where we're talking about the Spirit-filled life. We're talking about the Spirit-filled life, but we're talking about it from the basis, not so much of gifts. We're not talking about so much from the standpoint of works of power, although I arguably would say to you, we're talking about His greatest work of power. Because we're talking about God changing our character. We're talking about God changing our very being, changing our hearts, changing what comes out of our hearts. And let me say this, we're talking about Almighty God changing our hearts, not just in the best of circumstances, because by the time you get done looking at what love, joy, and peace are, and that the Holy Spirit of God wants to produce these things in us by His grace, and as we walk in fellowship with Him, you're going to find out that these wonderful fruits are not just happy time fruits. These are not, we're not talking about the best of times. We're not talking about your best day religiously ever in your life. The day that you felt the most spiritual in your entire days of living. We're talking about times dealing with love and joy and peace where you really have no visible means of support in your character except that you are walking in God's Spirit. You are living, allowing God's Spirit to minister to you. You've developed a relationship with Almighty God, and we've talked about this. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and this fruit comes about as we begin to walk in relationship with God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, we can just call Him that. God's Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a He. It's a person. And what the Lord wants us to do is walk with Him in an intimate fellowship. We're not talking about walking with some power that grants us all these powers to do these powerful things. We're talking about walking with the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, Almighty God, God the Holy Spirit who is in us and who is ministering to us and who is seeking to do a work in our lives. And as we walk with God, one of the things that He wants to do is He wants to manifest this fruit in our lives. Now remember last week we talked about how is fruit produced? Well, fruit is produced as the tree abides in, or as the branches of the tree abide in the tree itself and draw its life. The tree does two things. It puts its leaves out and it points its leaves toward the sun. I don't know if it like points. I don't think we have like the little James Bond things like, it sets the leaves. But I mean, as the trees focus themselves on the sun and begin to draw the sunlight and the light that comes from the sun, there's a glorious thing that happens in those leaves. And what takes place is it produces something. And as that goes into the tree itself, and then as the tree begins to draw the nutrients from the soil and draw the water from the soil in which it's planted, then the tree, when it has an excess of life, that's what fruit is. I don't know if you know that, but whenever you look at a piece of fruit, you are looking at excess life in a tree. Now let me say this, saints, if we're going to experience the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, you're going to have to be experiencing an excess of the life of God in your being. And that means this, you are walking in fellowship with Almighty God. Remember the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. He wants to teach us the Word of God. He is our leader. He wants to lead us in the ways of God. He wants to take the will of God and apply it to our life so that we walk it out. And what the Holy Spirit is seeking to do in us is, as we fellowship with God, as we love God, as we know God and we walk with God, and we begin to walk in the Word and the Holy Spirit teaches us the Word, as we begin to seek to walk out the Word and we get into circumstances where we're trying to obey God in this world, and we say, Lord, I ain't got it in me, but you can put it in me, you can work it in me, and then the Holy Spirit begins ministering life in us, then in that wonderful relationship with God, there is this excess of life that is getting into us as a result of knowing and walking with God. And that excess of life that He ministers to us manifests itself in fruit. Now, you and I don't have little balls of stuff that grow off of us and fall to the ground. But what we do have is this. We have things that begin to build in our character. Things that build in our innermost being. And we're going to look at three of those today. The first one is this, love. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That means this. If you are walking with God and you're walking in a relationship with God the Holy Spirit, you're walking in a relationship where you're in the Word and the Holy Spirit is teaching you the Word. You're walking in a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, who is leading you, who is prompting you to do things, and you're walking in obedience to those promptings and you're doing what God wants. If you have that relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, love is what's going to come forth from your life. Now let me say this, saints. There's a lot of people out there who will tell you, if you're filled with the Spirit, this will be true, this will be true, this will be true. Let me tell you the one thing. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that people will experience in you. Selfless, self-giving love. And if they're not experiencing in relation to you, and in relation to you under stress, and in relation to you and your family, in relation to you in husband and wife relationships, in dad and mom relationships, in... Well, that's husband and wife, just kids are watching it. But anyway, you've got dad with child relationship, mom with child relationships, relationships at your work. If people are not experiencing and they're not seeing and experiencing from you a selfless, self-giving love, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care how often you speak in tongues. I don't care what gifts you have. If they do not see love pouring forth from your lifestyle and pouring forth from your life, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that sounds rough, but that is true. You have got to realize this, that what God is wanting to do, I believe more than anything else, is have the very character of Jesus coming forth from our lives, influencing others. Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you have talked to somebody about the Lord or about church or something and say, oh, I don't do that. The church is full of hypocrites. Just show me a show of hands. Anybody ever run into that? Let me tell you this, saints. What they're talking about is this. A lot of people talk a good game about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but when it comes to stress and when it comes to life itself being lived out, they are not seeing selfless, self-giving, self-emptying love come consistently from God's church and from our lives. And what the Holy Spirit wants to bear in us. Now, let me say this. I do not mean that to sound like a bummer to you, okay? And it is a bummer. Well, maybe I did mean for it to sound like a bummer to you. But I want you to understand this. If you stay in the bummer, it's your fault. Because God the Holy Spirit is wanting to work in your life and build a relationship to you with you and in you to where you will begin showing forth that love. And you will begin showing forth that selflessness and that self-emptying and that self-giving of yourself to others. And God wants to do it so bad, you can't even begin to imagine at what level He wants to grant that to you. Now, when we look at the fruit of love, let's define it. First, the word is agape. Okay? And it refers to a self-emptying, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Now, there are some who argue that actually the only fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, and then all the other ones are just love doing stuff. They describe that love displayed through other things. Joy is love rejoicing. Peace is love in repose. Patience is love forbearing. Kindness is love being gracious. But let me say this. Regardless of how you view this, the very first fruit that is mentioned is love. And by the way, when you look at John chapter 13, 34 and 35, and the fact that Jesus says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, by your," say it, "love one for another." You know, and that means this, we love each other in the church. You know what I mean? You got First Harmony Church, Second Harmony Church, New Harmony Church, and God's Harmony Church, and they all came from the same group of people. And guess what? Nobody's seeing love. And folks, what God wants is for us to die to ourselves, to die to our reactions, to die to what we go through when we experience problems, and that we choose to die to ourselves and instead show forth the love of God to someone, even in a difficult, trying, troublesome circumstance. And folks, that's what people are dying to see. They're longing to see it in this world. They're longing to see those that would show forth the love of God in their character. Paul said that God's grace works in us this way. He says, faith works through love. You want greater faith? Then choose to die to yourself and show a self-giving, self-emptying love, and you will watch God actually build and strengthen your faith. Agape love is the love of choice. It is more than an emotion. In fact, it is not an emotion, saints. Please get that out of your head. One of the biggest problems we have with people experiencing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, is they think love is an emotion. They think love is gushy feelings. They think love is when you look at your wife and you go, "Oh, she's so cute. I love her all the time. She's my main squeeze. Oh!" And I think that's what love is. And let me say to you, I got that kind of love for Sherry. I love her like that. But let me tell you, and she loves me like that. But there are some times I'm not a very nice person. And she does not overflow with gushy love for me. She'd like to take a 2x4 upside my head. And I deserve it. Now y'all out there looking so holy. Y'all know it. You've done it before. You've been there. You've acted in a way that you're thinking to yourself, "Man, I sure am glad my wife loves me. I sure am glad my husband loves me. I am sure am glad my daddy loves me, or my mom loves me, or my friends love me," because we act in a way that would do everything possible to kill love. But let me say this to you. If you are living out of the abundance of the Holy Spirit who is ministering love to you, those kind of actions will never kill your love for another person. If that were the case, Jesus never would have died for us. Jesus died for a bunch of stinking sinners, folks, and that's us. He had two dudes on the cross on either side of him. We always talk about the thief on the cross who came to Jesus. Do you realize that earlier in the gospel accounts it says they were both cursing him, they were both insulting him, they were both speaking evil of Christ? And then later on, one guy starts to get it. I'm under the same sentence as this guy, and this guy's holy. And what's amazing is you don't see Jesus looking over him going, "Oh, now you're all about me. Yeah, where were you earlier when it was, yeah, Jesus, the Messiah?" And you don't see Jesus act like that. You see our Lord look at him and say, "Today you will spend eternity with me in paradise." We see love, selfless, self-giving, self-emptying love. And let me say this, and if you understand the kind that the Holy Spirit wants to grant to you, it is for those who deserve it the very least. And everybody else that fits in that spectrum coming up to those that you think deserve it most. That's what the Lord's wanting to manifest through us. Love is it's demonstrated. We are commanded in Ephesians 5:2, walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. But there is a glorious progression that is laid out in God's Word for us. And it's I believe it's the way and the process the Holy Spirit works it out. We are commanded to love in Ephesians 5:2. But Romans 5:5 says that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in our hearts. Is that not awesome? If you had just laid on you, like I did earlier, that you have to show a selfless, self-giving, self-emptying love to those who deserve it least, how many of you would be just about ready to give up before it gets started? I know I'd be there. I'd be like, I'm sorry, I want to smack most of those people. You know? Y'all looking out there like, Pastor John, you shouldn't feel that way. You do too. What'd you do last time somebody cut you off in traffic? Bless you. Bless you in the name of Jesus. You know, you didn't do that. It's in us. It's in us by our flesh. And man, you poke it and it comes out, doesn't it? And if somebody told me I'm to love as Christ loved and gave himself a sacrifice for many, I'd go, Lord, I can't do that. And the Lord would go, yeah, that's right. That's why at your salvation I poured out the love of God by the Holy Spirit into your heart. And it is my grace and it is my transformation that allows you to love like that. And the sooner you come to the end of yourself and the end of your struggling and trying, and you come to the point where you say, God, I can't, you work it in me, and then you just choose to love, believing that God's going to provide what you need to love when you need it. Now, that's hard, isn't it? It'd be nice if we said, God, I can't do it, you do it in me, and then there's like a little green light that goes off on our cheek when we're ready to just lose it. And we're like, I can't do it, Lord. You do it in me. And then the green light goes off and you go, oh, okay, now I can. But you see, we walk by faith, saints. We walk by faith in what God says that He will provide for us. And we believe what God said. And therefore, what we do is we do this. We say, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have it. And you say, Lord, please produce it in me. And therefore, the next time I have the desire to smack somebody because I've done something to me, I say, Lord, grant me your grace. And then I choose to love, even if I don't feel it in that moment. And I believe that is the moment in which the power of God will grant you the ability to love somebody that you normally can't love. Says that we're commanded to do it, and then God pours it out in us through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. But here's the cool thing. As we begin to walk in it and choose to live it out, the Holy Spirit will produce us in it with the result that we will begin to love in the Spirit. Colossians 1:8 talks about that. Paul says, by the way, we've heard testimonies of your love in the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? The thought that when I don't have it, God would grant it to me by His grace and that He would produce it in me. But folks, it's also demonstrated through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians deals with love as the manifestation that is most important whenever the gifts of the Spirit are being used in ministry. Far too often we miss that. You have the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You have how they are to be used in the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And buddy, smack dab in the middle of it, it talks about the Spirit in which we ought to be using those gifts. It should never be, look what I've got, everybody. I've got such a wonderful gift. Everybody should praise me for my wonderful gift. Let me say this. They should not even know you're around. Because what they're experiencing is you giving yourself in a self-emptying, self-giving, self-sacrificing way so that when you minister whatever gift the Holy Spirit gave you, what they walk away from is not a sense of you and how wonderful you are. They walk away with a sense of God and how awesome God is. And you, I don't even remember who you are. Saints, that is such a glorious thing when God does that work. Now, I said we were going to try to cover three. We're going to cover one. Folks, the fruit of the Spirit is love.
And if I can go back to it, and you know, these last several weeks, I've just been like, Lord, please help people understand this, because it just, at times I just feel like I'm running in circles. But saints, if you want this kind of thing in your life, understand this. It's not that you come to an altar and you beg and you plead and you beg and you plead, and if God just so chooses, He may give it to you. Let me say that that kind of a view of God is disgusting. Word of God tells me that if you desire the Holy Spirit, it's like a child asking his dad for a piece of bread. It's like his dad asking his dad for a fish. And it says if you your father's being evil knew that when you asked for a piece of bread, he wouldn't give you a rock. And if you asked for a piece of fish, he wouldn't give you a snake. Let me say this. If you desire a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, if you desire for God to fill you today with His Holy Spirit, ask Him. Plead with Him. Cry out to Him. Say, oh God, I need You. I need the Holy Spirit working in my life. And realize this, this is not something He's going to give you. He gave it to you at salvation. You have God the Holy Spirit in your life the moment you receive Jesus. But you may not have His fullness. You may not have everything that He can do in you. He may not be filling you to overflowing and continuously filling you. And that's what God desires in your life. That kind of a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. He's been given to you at salvation, but what the Lord wants you to do is yield yourself to Him. What the Lord wants you to do is have that relationship with Him and build that relationship and take it deeper and deeper and deeper. And that when the Holy Spirit teaches you something in the Word, and when the Holy Spirit prompts you out in life to do something for somebody or to say something, or, hey, let's talk about this, not say something. Amen? There are times where the Holy Spirit wants to take a big old zipper and go whoop, right across my mouth. And say, zip it, boy. If you want to manifest Jesus, be quiet, love somebody. And let me say to the saints, that's what God's wanting to do in your life. He wants to build that kind of a relationship so that you're walking in relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. But what He's wanting to do is this, and know this beyond any shadow of a doubt. He is working in you every day of your life so that you will show forth selfless, self-giving, self-emptying love that does not think about you. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God, and it is about God using you to bless someone else. And if you never get credit, and if nobody ever notices that you ever did anything, that's okay with you. Because it's all about giving God glory anyway. Now, folks, that's the kind of relationship God the Holy Spirit wants in your life. That's how He wants to fill you. He wants to fill you with His influence. He wants to fill you with His teaching. He wants to fill you with His urging and His prompting and His calling you to do things and calling you to give yourself in certain ways. And if you want to experience the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, let me give you one word. Yield. Yield to Him teaching you. Yield to Him leading you. Yield to Him defining what love is in your life. Yield to Him when He says, don't yell at somebody. Yield to Him when He says, die to yourself and don't be worried about your rights and who's going to look after me and who's going to take care of me, and they're not going to talk to me that way and I don't have to put up with that. Yield to Him. And He will manifest in you the sweet, wonderful, glorious fruit of love. And when He does, it will be to the glory of God. And people will wonder in amazement at the transformation He has done in you and the things that will be happening in others when He works through you. Oh, saints, may God give us grace. I long for it. That I would experience more of His holy influence, leadership, teaching, filling, empowering in my life, that that I might give myself selflessly. And you want to know who the first person, and I know husbands and wives, you don't want to slap me. But you know who the first person that needs to know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit is? For me, it's Sherry. If she doesn't think I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, it really doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks. And you say, Pastor, why do you say that? Well, let me think. Ephesians chapter 5. And do not get drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That probably means worship service is going to get better. Amen? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things. Okay, there goes complaining in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to God the Father. And be subject to one another out of the fear of God. So that means this, the whole arrogant and we're going to bow up against each other and I'm in charge. And my brother used to tell me, John, you think you're the big cheese, you just smell like it. And then it says, what's the next thing that it says? Husbands, love your wives. You want to know how people know we're filled with the Holy Spirit? They find out from our spouse. And it says, wives, respect your husbands. And then it says, kids, obey your parents. And then it says, and we get into chapter 6, slaves, be obedient to those who have the rule over you. And it's actually talking about our work relationships. Isn't it amazing where being filled with the Holy Spirit goes? Your husband-wife relationship, your relationship with your kids, your relationship at your workplace. And wouldn't it be awesome if in the days that lie ahead, people began saying of the saints who are here, you know, we know that church is filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because their worship service goes all afternoon? No. Why? Because they had a message in tongues last Sunday? No. Why? Because they've got gifts of healings and stuff going on? No. In fact, unfortunately, we've got some of that stuff going on. I don't mean unfortunately in a bad way. But we've got some of that stuff going on, and people realize they realize the love's not there. Wouldn't it be awesome if people began saying that they knew that God's Spirit was falling in our community because dads were loving moms, and moms were loving dads, and moms and dads were loving kids and raising them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And employers were coming and say, would you please send the rest of the folks in our workplace to that church? Because all I know is the ones that go there come here and they work hard and they're respectful and they're making this business profitable because of how hard they work and how respectful and loving they are. Wouldn't it be awesome if that began to be the testimony of what came out of God's church? And by the way, it's the very one He wants to be coming out of His church. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness. Thank You so much for this day, Lord, and what You're doing in it. And the grace that You've poured out on this church, the grace that You've poured out on the Mason family. God, I just come back again to Debbie and, Lord, to Michael. And to Chloe, Lord, to Doug, and Amanda's family, God, please minister Your grace to them even this morning. Bear them up, Father. Carry them. Lord Jesus, we long for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be loosed. And God, I don't have any problem with the gifts of the Holy Spirit being manifest. Lord, I just want to know that if they are, that 1 Corinthians 13 is what's being really experienced in the body of Christ. God, what I long for is that no matter what happens, that we'll know the Holy Spirit's moving in power when it affects our relationships with one another, when it affects our homes, when it affects our workplaces. And Lord, where the love of God through the power of Your Holy Spirit and through His ministry and influence in our lives is affecting people radically because of what You're doing in our character, to the glory and the honor and the praise of Jesus Christ. Lord, please grant us that work. God, please grant me that work, Lord. That it would be seen in me, that it would be seen in the people of this fellowship. And Lord, I just don't want Calvary blessed. I pray you bless churches all over the city. Lord, that we would lose the competitive spirit amongst one another. And Lord, we would begin standing shoulder to shoulder to see the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed. And that we would be standing shoulder to shoulder, loving one another in good times and in bad. And longing, Father, that the gospel of Jesus would begin to affect more and more people in the city. Laboring, Lord, to see people saved and to see them raised up as disciples and disciple makers. God, work for your own glory and your own praise. Love in your body. Lord, we just ask that you do this in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.